live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people?
Oh, yeah, it's about that time. It is Thursday, September 5th. 2019, and yes, you are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. It's always a great day when you are tuned in to another fresh edition of the show. And today is pretty exciting because tonight marks the opening night of NFL football. That's right, NFL football is back officially tonight. I don't count those preseason games. The preseason, who cares about the preseason, all right? Preseason is like, who cares? I mean, now you get the opportunity to really check out your favorite players for an entire game, not just a quarter or a half, but the entire game. And, you know, the race for the playoffs starts now. Tonight, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears will go at it at Soldier Field. This is a historic rivalry that has been around for a long, long time. Storied games have taken place. Legends have emerged from those games. And there's a lot of hope in Chicago for this year's team. And I was talking to my fraternity brother, Justin, you know, a few weeks ago when, you know, I took that trip to Puerto Rico. It was my fraternity trip, our 10-year anniversary being in Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And, you know, he's born and bred in Chicago. And he was like, Al, watch out for my Bears this year. Watch out, baby. We're going to make some noise. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. I was like, we'll see what happens that first game when Aaron Rodgers comes to town. You know, I know there's a lot of, I wouldn't say drama, but there's a lot of interest when it comes to the Green Bay Packers this season. That's because of Aaron Rodgers, who has a really strong personality, and being arguably the most talented quarterback that we've seen in the last 10 years. And now, you know, that personality matched up with new Green Bay Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. That's been a big storyline. And do those two get along? I heard Brett Favre, the legendary former Green Bay Packers quarterback that he is. You know, I heard him on a network yesterday talking about how he just hopes that Matt LaFleur does not, quote unquote, handcuff Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But there's a lot of hope for both of these teams. You know, hope for Green Bay Packers fans, always, because you have Aaron as your QB. And Chicago fans believe that they will be even better this season. So I'm excited for it, folks. Get your fantasy football lineups intact. All right, I did my final fantasy football draft last night at 8 p.m. I'm liking my team. I'm liking my team. That's all I got to say. All right? So we'll talk some NFL. I want to talk about, you know, I'm going to piggyback off the conversation that I started on Wednesday's Current Sports. And that concerns the Detroit Lions releasing the first depth chart of the season. I got some takeaways when it comes to that depth chart and what it can mean for the Detroit Lions' future this season. And then on the back end of the show, you know, this is a conversation that we began last week, and that concerns a really intriguing story centered on the decline in high school sports participation here in the U.S. of A. actually the first sports participation decline in high school in 30 years. Why is that so? We touched on a bit of that conversation last week, and we had some of you guys call in and offer some reasoning, some possible reasoning as to why this is so. And on today's show, I'm actually going to welcome Jeff Kimmerly to WKAR's Current Sports. He's a friend of the show, hasn't been on in a while, but he is the media and content coordinator for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And I'm curious, when you look at that overall report that looks at a decline in sports participation across the board in the United States of America, I'm wondering how those numbers specifically talk about high school sports here in the state of Michigan. All right, so Jeff will help us do that on today's show, and he'll offer up some reasoning as to why he believes that there is a decline in high school sports participation across the board in this nation for the first time in 30 years. All right, so you do not want to miss that conversation, all right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch there and comment below that video. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. You know, I planned on starting with some local sporting news, but I gotta pass this along to you guys for those who have not seen it yet. This is just breaking about a little more than 20 minutes ago, courtesy of ESPN. I'm seeing this, and Alec Rio, our engineer for today's Current Sports, he's the one that chimed in my ear and said, "Hey, Al, check out this story." We have been talking about throughout this NFL offseason, and throughout preseason, I should say. Technically, it's the offseason with preseason, right? When it comes to Antonio Brown, the star wide receiver formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, now embarking on his first year as a star wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. Well, we've got some breaking news. You know, we had all this drama with him in the cryotherapy machine and him having frostbitten feet that held him out of training camp. And then this whole situation with his helmet. You know, he argued that he didn't have enough time to change his helmet, but he finally came to an agreement with the NFL that he is going to wear a certain helmet that was profiled actually on HBO's Hard Knocks with the Oakland Raiders on Tuesday night. And now the latest drama when it comes to Antonio Brown. Talk about a headache, folks. Antonio Brown and Oakland Raiders general manager Mike Mayock reportedly got into a heated exchange yesterday. And check this. The team is now planning to suspend its star wide receiver Antonio Brown. This is according to league sources that have told Adam Schefter this news. The confrontation stemmed from Brown's Instagram post on Wednesday, which we also highlighted here on Current Sports, when he displayed a letter from Mike Mayock that detailed about $54,000 in fines for missing time during training camp. In the letter, Mayock informed Brown that he was being fined $13,000 for missing a walkthrough on August 22nd and unexcused absence. The letter also mentioned that the team previously had fined Brown $40,000 for missing camp on August 18th. That's the day the GM issued his ultimatum to Brown, saying, quote, it's time for him to be all in or all out. Okay? This is an interesting development, folks. And, you know, when it comes to the Oakland Raiders, I mean, they opened up the year on Monday. Monday Night Football, 9-9 against the Denver Broncos. That will be a 10-20 first kick. And again, it's week one of the NFL season. You know, I mentioned the Packers and Bears getting it on tonight on NBC. And this is week one now, and you have this drama now lingering on into the regular season. I'm curious just how harsh of a suspension this is. Now, I will say this. I love how Mike Mayock is saying to Antonio Brown and has been saying that we're not putting up with crap. This is not Pittsburgh. You can't just do what you want and just expect everything to be cool and for us to look the other way. No, there will be punishment for it. I love Mike Mayock coming out and saying on the official Oakland Raiders Twitter account that, look, it's time for Antonio Brown to either be all in or all out. Again, this is not Pittsburgh. I absolutely love that. Antonio Brown's reaction, incredibly immature. Pay up the fine, dude. You know, you're one of the top wide receivers in the game, one of the top players overall in the game. I think you're the best wide receiver since Jerry Rice in the National Football League. Pay up the fine. You have to acknowledge your mistake in this whole offseason saga. Pay up the fine. $54K is a drop in the bucket to you. And get back out there on the football field with your teammates who are depending on you in order for them to be successful this season and to ramp up success this season under John Gruden. I mean, come on, dude. It's totally immature. So, if he got into this verbal exchange with Mike Mayock, one, I like it, Mike. You're holding your ground. And you're saying, no, this crap isn't flying. Pay up the fine. And if you're going to get into a verbal exchange with your boss, look, man, if this was your regular 9-to-5, if I got into a verbal exchange, a heated exchange with my boss, I'm pretty sure I would be suspended as well. Maybe even fired, all right? I'm just curious to know the details of the suspension. Will it be Antonio Brown sitting out a quarter of the Broncos and Raiders game? Will it be a half? Will it be the entire game? I don't know. But I like Mike Mayock holding his ground when it comes to the drama queen that is Antonio Brown. Alec.
So, to me, I don't understand necessarily why Mike Tomlin and, you know, the Steelers front office, they got so much flack last year for that whole situation with AB. That people were thinking that it wasn't handled well or that it might have been Mike Tomlin's fault. But, I mean, now what's unfolding with the Raiders, you know, how can one not assume that it's not completely up to Antonio Brown? Like, I don't know at this point how people can't see that this isn't just an Antonio Brown problem.
It is an Antonio Brown problem.
It really is.
That's all it is an Antonio
exactly.
Brown problem. He had drama when he was out in Pittsburgh, and I think Mike Tomlin enabled that behavior a bit. You know, John Gruden has been playing, if you've been watching Hard Knocks, he has played the good cop to Mike Mayock's bad cop. All right, to have some balance here. And I think Gruden is, you know, he's really in a tough position right now because, yeah, he does want Antonio Brown out there on the football field. He does not want to burn that bridge because he knows that a lot of people are looking at John Gruden and saying, look, dude, you got to win some games now. All right, second year under the helm, we gave you this huge long-term contract. You have to win games. And having Antonio Brown out there on the football field helps you do that, especially when the spotlight is on you. So, but Mike Mayock, look, he's the GM, and he's saying, look, I'm not taking that crap. All right, this is not Pittsburgh, and I love that. I absolutely love it. So your thoughts on Antonio Brown, 517-355-WKAR, engineer for today's, because I don't think I introduced you yet, engineer for today's Thursday edition of Current Sports, Alec Rio, whose voice you just heard. Alec?
So I was just wondering what you thought. So do you think that this is more of like the Pittsburgh Steelers front office's fault for not for keeping it under the rug for this long? Because, I mean, who knows how long Antonio Brown has been, you know, doing these kind of antics for, and like for how long this has been under the rug for? I mean, did you really hear anything about Antonio Brown when he was on the Steelers besides what happened right before he got traded?
Well, the whole situation with him recording in the locker room, remember that
yeah,
situation
that's right.
went viral, and just like, dude, why are you recording a very intimate moment with the team? There's some things you don't broadcast. There were some riffs from time to time with him and Big Ben that were kind of kept under the rug, but some of that stuff leaked out as well. So I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers, they tried to keep that stuff in-house, but with Antonio Brown, it's just impossible to do that. I'm not I'm not blaming the Pittsburgh Steelers for what's happening with the Oakland Raiders right now. At the end of the day, Antonio Brown is a grown man, and I like that the Raiders are putting their foot down in this regard. So I have no problem with what Mike Mayock and how he's handling this. I'm curious. What I am curious is how the fans are reacting to this now, because we do have our very own Brad Walker here at WKAR, who is a noted Oakland Raiders fanatic. I talk to him about the Raiders just about every day. I can't wait to talk to him later on today to get his thoughts on this whole drama. All right, pushing forward now, let's talk about the Michigan State women's soccer team, in which they will be in action tonight on the road, a trip to Butler. 7 p.m. kick time against Butler. The Spartans will return home on Sunday, September 8th, in a doubleheader with the men's soccer team. The women will play at 12 p.m. against Detroit Mercy, with the men hosting Cornell at 3 p.m. Michigan State defeated Boston University in a double overtime thriller on the road on Sunday night under the lights at Nickerson Field. The Spartans downed the Terriers 2-1 in double OT to remain undefeated on the season, 4-0-0 this year. Sophomore forward Gia Wahlberg scored the golden goal for the Spartans with less than 4 minutes remaining in double OT to down the Terriers 2-1. And again, Michigan State, Butler, MSU women's soccer tonight, 7 p.m. We'll let you know how that one panned out on tomorrow's show. All right, a pair of teams from the American League Central will square off as the Detroit Tigers have traveled to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, to take on the Kansas City Royals. That one taking place right now. First pitch was a minute ago at 1:15 p.m. This is game three of this three-game series. The Tigers have nothing to play for at this point, really, and even less to play for in this series, and are not in the role of spoiler against the Kansas City team that has been out of the playoffs since spring training. So not a lot of appeal when it comes to this game. If I remember, I'll give you a score update at some point this hour as to how that one pans out up until 2 p.m. All right, the Detroit Lions apparently aren't done adding QBs to their roster. According to the Detroit Free Press, former Cardinals quarterback Chad Kenoff is being signed to the Detroit Lions practice squad. Kenoff, he went undrafted in 2018 out of Princeton and spent nearly all of his rookie year on the Cardinals practice squad despite the change in coaching staff. Kenoff, he stuck around in Arizona for the 2019 preseason. In three preseason appearances, Kanoff completed 10 of 19 passes for 128 yards, one INT, and one touchdown. Kanoff could, theoretically, be in competition with David Blau for the developmental quarterback position on the roster. And I think that, when you look at the Lions making this signing here and scrambling to work out other quarterbacks, I think that they are, in fact, really, really worried about the backup quarterback situation when it pertains to Matthew Stafford. And I addressed a rumor earlier this week that a lot of people out there don't believe that Matthew Stafford is 100% coming off of a season last year in which he played with a broken back. So hopefully Matthew Stafford stays healthy throughout the entire season starting this week. Again, Arizona and the Lions, Cardinals and Lions going at it on Sunday afternoon, a 4:25 p.m. kick time for that one. And despite enjoying a year-over-year increase of 15%, more news when it comes to the Detroit Lions. The Lions come in near the bottom of Forbes' list of most valuable franchises. Again, the Lions are number 31 out of 32 NFL teams with a calculated team value of $2 billion. Detroit also held down the 31st spot on last year's list with a valuation of $1.8 billion. Forbes reports the team value was calculated as recently as this month. And this is what the outlet writes. This is what Forbes writes. Quote, after five straight years of escalating ticket prices, it will cost slightly less to attend the Lions game in 2019 in some cases. Even after years of price hikes, the Lions rank in the bottom quarter of the NFL for ticket prices and have the lowest average price in its division. I guess that's good news for you Detroit Lions fans who are trying to attend a few games this season. It goes on to read, quote, pricing power is tricky when your franchise has one playoff win since 1957. So, and that's also including eight straight postseason losses. So, no punches held back from Forbes on a franchise who has seen their fair share of bad news. Moving forward now, as I mentioned, Packers and Bears tonight. Staying in the NFC North, the league is throwing a birthday party that includes a free fan festival and concert and culminates with one of the biggest rivalry matchups in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers visiting Khalil Mack in the Chicago Bears in Soldier Field. 8:20 p.m. is kick time for that. The two NFC stalwarts opened last season on Sunday Night Football when Green Bay came back to defeat Chicago at Lambeau Field 24-23, an instant classic. So NFL fans, you are in for quite a treat to kick off what should be a pretty special season. Some great week one matchups. And did you see this video? The count of the number of days Colin Kaepernick has been without a job in the NFL ticked to 918 as of today. Or to use the language that former San Francisco 49ers QB, that the former San Francisco 49ers QB and Cap used on social media, 918 days denied work. The 31-year-old shared his second training video in 30 days on Twitter and Instagram yesterday, and Cap was throwing passes to Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. in the video, which was captioned, quote, "From putting in work pre-draft to staying ready against the odds, love my brother at OBJ." That's Odell Beckham Jr.'s official Instagram handle. Kaepernick, he last competed in the NFL in December of 2016 before becoming a free agent in 2017. He has not been offered a contract since then. So in the video, though, I tell you what, Cap looks good. Looks good in the workout video. Odell Beckham Jr. does as well. He even showed off a few one-handed catches that were pretty nice. All right, and Rafael Nadal, he ended up moving on in the U.S. Open semifinals, and he will play 23-year-old Matteo Berrettini of Italy. So Nadal moves on, and he has had a great, great run in the U.S. Open. I'm looking forward to seeing if he can pull off this U.S. Open championship victory. And also, Novak Djokovic, the defending champion and number one seed, he stopped playing, if you remember, while way behind in his fourth round match, citing a pain to his left shoulder. Serena Williams will also be in action tonight, so we'll see if she can move on in the U.S. Open as well. And last but not least, Arkansas University is investigating allegations that a men's basketball player was dismissed because the coach disapproved of his, wait for it, dreadlocks. Yeah. You guys know dreadlocks, right? The hairstyle? Huh. Tyler Williams, excuse me. He alleges that he was dismissed from the University of Arkansas Fort Smith's basketball team last month after head coach Jim Bone criticized his hairstyle. A complaint filed by Williams alleges that Bone's action amounts to, quote, racism and bias. Chancellor Teresa Riley confirmed in an email on Tuesday that the school is investigating, but officials say that Bone remains the men's basketball coach. Williams is a 22-year-old, 6-foot guard, and honor roll student who played high school basketball in Oklahoma. He has transferred to a college in the Oklahoma City area, and in December, a New Jersey high school wrestler had his dreadlocks. If you remember, this was a big story that was publicized in the national media. He had his dreadlocks cut after a referee told him to lose the hairstyle or forfeit his match. I tell you, sometimes it feels like I didn't grow up in the 60s. I was born October 7th, 1990. But man, some of this stuff feels like we're living back in the 60s. I can only imagine. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep it pushing. All right, a little Thundercat for you on this Thursday, September 5th, 2019. A few comments coming in courtesy of our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says, the NFL is back tonight. Go Bears. And Ben is a noted Detroit Lions fan, just like many of our listeners are. So that makes sense. With the Green Bay Packers being in the NFC North, there will be a lot of Detroit Lions fans rooting against the Packers tonight as they take on Chi-Town. Also, Ben continues and says, I loved Antonio Brown when he started out his career in Pittsburgh, but then he turned into a clown show, as his time in Pittsburgh came to an end and is continuing to be a clown. Show out in Oakland. Clown show out in Oakland. So there you have that. And also, again, we're welcoming Jeff Kimmerly later on to the show. Jeff Kimmerly of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. I want to pick his brain when it comes to this latest study and the latest finding concerning high school sports participation being down, showing a decline for the first time in 30 years. This was a study conducted by the National Federation of State High School Associations. I want to get Jeff's thoughts when it comes to that report and if we're seeing that same trend here in the state of Michigan. What do the numbers look like here in the state of Michigan? And getting a comment here on our Facebook page from Alex, who says, I heard a good explanation. Kids used to play multiple sports. When they go down to one sport, it counts against participation, thus a decline in high school sports participation. Not sure about that, Alex. I've heard that from another source as well, and I said the same thing to that person. And I said, I don't know. I have to ask Jeff on how do they conduct that study and whether or not if a young man or woman decides in high school to just go down to one sport, which we call specialized sports, if that does in fact count against this study and counts as a decline in high school sports participation. Hopefully Jeff can provide some clarity there. So again, we'll welcome Jeff Kimmerly later on this hour to the show. And again, thoughts on Antonio Brown. I'm curious. Maybe we get a few callers here this hour. You know, it's being reported that the Oakland Raiders will suspend Antonio Brown after a heated exchange. This is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. A heated exchange between Brown and Oakland Raiders general manager Mike Mayock on Wednesday. Curious as to what that suspension is going to look like, but Antonio Brown, he really is. I agree, Ben. It's become a clown show, and it's so unfortunate because this dude is just so talented, but his ego is just through the roof. It kind of reminds me of a former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver and former Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver by the name of Terrell Owens. There's just so many prima donna wide receivers out there, right, who just, it's always something with them. You know, I can bring up Chad Johnson as well. Oh, excuse me, Chad Ochocinco. That's another one. You know, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is with these wideouts. All right, the Lions. Let's talk Lions real quick before I hit this first break. The Lions have indeed released the week one depth chart. And I do just want to, you know, and I brought this up to close out yesterday's current sports just really briefly, because there aren't many like big surprises when it comes to this depth chart. You know, no changes when it comes to the QB position. Matthew Stafford, Josh Johnson, and David Blau there. No changes there. At running back, of course, Kerryon Johnson. Then you have C.J. Anderson, Ty Johnson, J.D. McKissick, and Nick Bawden. No changes there. Wide receiver, outside, Kenny Galladay. Also, Marvin Jones Jr. in the slot. You got Danny Amendola. No changes there. You got Chris Lacy and Travis Fulgham backing up Galladay and Jones Jr. At tight end, Jesse James at number one. And then you got T.J. Hockenson at number two. Then Logan Thomas is the third tight end there. Now, you can make the argument that Hockenson deserves to be labeled as a starter, But with this coaching staff, they always side with the vet when they view two players of equal value. All right, so that I believe that's where they stand now. If Jesse James is not getting the job done, then they will go with this year's NFL draft pick in T.J. Hockenson. On that offensive line, you've got left tackle Taylor Decker, left guard Joe Dahl, center Frank Ragnow, right guard Graham Glasgow, and right tackle Rick Ragnar. Now, the most notable change is that, again, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, is that Dahl, he should be in the starting lineup at left guard. Wiggins should be backing him up. I would maybe also put Wiggins as the backup at right tackle. So, you know, when you look at that, it's interesting because, you know, Dahl is a guy. Let's just put a blanket over it. This offensive line has to perform. All right, if these guys do not protect Matthew Stafford, it is going to be a crime. And this team will continue to be that same old Lions squad that we talk about year after year after year that cannot make the playoffs. Cannot get, if they do, they can't even get a playoff win. They haven't gotten that since the early 90s, all right? So these guys are going to have a lot of pressure on them, all right? Now, when it comes to the defense, you know, looking at defensive end and Trey Flowers, I think the defensive line is going to be awesome. You know, it's one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. The thing is, can they wreak some havoc in the backfield? Get sacks, get some tackles for loss. That's the key there. But they have some very talented dudes. You know, Trey Flowers, Damon Snacks Harrison, you know, A'shaun Robinson, Mike Daniels, Deshaun Hand. A fantastic group. And I think that they are going to turn some heads in the league this year. Isn't this kind of like deja vu for Michigan State football fans? It's kind of like the same problem that we're talking about with the Michigan State football team. Great defense, great defensive line, get a lot of push, some stars there. And then you look at the Lions' secondary, looking at linebacker, I'm looking at Devon Kennard, Jarrett Davis. He's got some pressure on him, though, I must say that. Jarrett Davis has to perform this year. Jelani Tavai, Christian Jones, those guys got to step up. But then you look at the corners, led by, of course, the man, Darius Slay. I think the defense is going to be, and then you look at safety, Quandre Diggs, Tavon Wilson. I think the defense is going to be solid. I think they are. Thing is, though, if they are out there on the field all the time, they're going to get winded, and you are going to see some cracks there. And that is going to lead to points. So how do you relieve that? The offense has to step up and make some things happen. It's so weird to me. The problems that the Lions have, they remind me so much of the problems that are happening right now with Michigan State football. Now, on tomorrow's Current Sports, I'm going to preview extensively the Arizona Cardinals and the Detroit Lions. And I want to talk about how much pressure is on Matty Patty, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, in his second year now as the head man in charge of this team. And I'll talk about the man who a lot of people are excited to watch this year, and that is Mr. Kyler Murray, who is the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And it's going to be a really interesting test for this Lions defense going against such a dynamic quarterback like Kyler Murray, because he's fun to watch. You know, Kyler Murray is really fun to watch. If you watched his college career at Oklahoma, you know, he was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And, he previously, a lot of people don't know this, he previously played college football for the Texas A&M Aggies and then the Oklahoma Sooners. So, and again, he's the 2018 Heisman Trophy winner. So a lot of people are going to be keying in and seeing if Kyler Murray is the real deal against the Detroit Lions. And we all know what happened last year in the Lions opener against the New York Jets, right? There was also a certain quarterback who was making his NFL debut on Monday Night Football against the Honolulu Blue. That was Mr. Sam Darnold, who just went off against the Lions. So hopefully another rookie quarterback playing his very first NFL game does not go off against the Detroit Lions. But as I like to say, if I was a betting man, you know where I'm leaning with that. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll briefly touch upon the NFL season beginning and some of my favorite storylines. And then we will welcome to the hour Jeff Kimmerly of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, it's exciting today because the NFL season begins. You know, I voiced my happiness on Wednesday's Current Sports due to the fact that my Cowboys finally got a deal done with Ezekiel Zeke Elliott, number 2-1 in the blue and silver. Respect the star, baby. Watch out for my Cowboys, man. I really do believe that we got a great shot at finally winning a Super Bowl for the first time since the 90s, all right, this year. I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, Zeke was made available to the media to talk about all of the hoopla surrounding his contract conversations with the team, deciding to go to Cabo until the deal was officially done. And this new deal, 6-year deal, makes him the highest paid NFL running back ever. And he did not fumble over any words when describing, you know, how that new contract, when he was asked whether or not he believes that he deserved that money. Well, first off, that's a stupid question. That's why he sat out, right? I mean, yeah, he believes he deserves that money. And when asked why, it's because he believes that he is the best running back in the game. I love that. He was very candid and very honest. And I think a contract like that is going to open up doors and opportunity for other young running backs who come after Ezekiel Zeke Elliott, who wants to be paid like he did. All right, so this is good for those coming after Zeke who play the running back position. But so many storylines in the NFL that are going to be so fun to watch. I can't wait to finally check out the Cleveland Browns entering week one against the Tennessee Titans. Legit playoff aspirations there, folks. You know, Cleveland won 5 of its final 7 games with Baker Mayfield under center, to conclude the quarterback's rookie season. And that came after a stretch that saw the franchise's long downtrodden organization win 6 of its previous 60 regular season games. Quite remarkable, quite the turnaround. And you look at all of the star power on this team. You know, you got Odell Beckham Jr. He'll be making his debut with the Browns on Sunday. Mayfield also has Pro Bowler Jarvis Landry. And then you got the young back, star back, in Nick Chubb to rely on. Taking on a Titans team at home this week that many expect to be average. So this is the Browns' chance to really prove that there's something different happening out in Cleveland. And I saw that on the Cleveland Browns official Twitter page, they have made the Nike Color Rush jerseys like the permanent home jersey for the team. Like the jersey for the team, which is awesome. So I'm excited to watch Cleveland. You know, also Carson Wentz and his shiny weapons as the Philadelphia Eagles, they should have a relatively easy time at home against the Washington Redskins on Sunday afternoon.
You know, head coach Doug Peterson and company, they have built up one heck of a skill position group around Wentz. You know, rookie second-round pick Miles Sanders. He joins former Pro Bowler Jordan Howard in the backfield. DeSean Jackson, a lot of people forget about him. He returns to his original Eagles team after five seasons away from Philly. And these new weapons should be on full display against a Redskins squad that will likely finish closer to the NFC East cellar than first place. So can Wentz stay healthy, one, and then live up to that shiny new contract? That's also going to be fun to watch. So I love those two storylines. And this could be a defining week one game at Soldier Field tonight. You know, Packers and Bears. The Packers heading into Soldier Field tonight, NBC, with a renewed sense of optimism, I believe. And that starts with first-year head coach Matt LaFleur. Now, I know there's been a lot of press surrounding around LaFleur and his relationship with franchise quarterback Aaron Rodgers. But that'll be all put to bed. All of that drama will be put to bed, and we'll actually see how this offense will look tonight at 8 p.m. This will give us our first glimpse of that relationship. And the Packers are also going to want to make a major statement against the defending division champs on the road, national audience, Chicago. Yeah, Chicago was pretty good last year. And for the Bears, this is their opportunity to prove that last season was no fluke. So, that's going to be fun. Tonight is a big week one game, going to be a very entertaining, I believe, opening game to kick off the NFL season. But there's so many storylines. You know, how do the Indianapolis Colts move on without Andrew Luck? You know, Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, manning the Minnesota Vikings for yet another season. You know, the Vikings actually, in my opinion, could not ask for a better matchup in week one. They take on a Atlanta Falcons defense that ranked in the bottom eight of the NFL in points allowed last season. So Kirk Cousins maybe could put up some big points here. And if he does not, that's going to be a bad sign for Vikings fans. So also, can the New Orleans Saints, can they forget about what happened last season and move on? That's going to be interesting. So just so many great storylines around the NFL, and I'm just excited that it's finally here and that we get to sit on our couches each and every Thursday, each and every Sunday, and each and every Monday to check out some of these games. Going to be very, very fun. All right, let's hit our final break. When I come back, we are going to welcome to the show Jeff Kimmerly, media and content coordinator for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Jeff and I are going to dive into, you know, this report that we touched on during last week's Current Sports concerning high school sports participation being down in this nation for the first time in 30 years. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I've got a story coming from our WKAR news team that I just want to give you an update on before we invite Jeff Kimmerly to the hour. Two major developments out of Michigan State University. The U.S. Department of Education is fining Michigan State University $4.5 million for failing to respond to sexual assault complaints against Dr. Larry Nassar. That announcement comes from Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who says the university's failure to act created a, quote, sexually hostile environment. MSU President Samuel Stanley Jr. said in a statement Thursday that MSU, quote, must have a culture of accountability. He added Provost June Hewitt has stepped down. Stanley says Hewitt and former President Luana Simon failed to appropriately respond to allegations against William Strample, a medical school dean. Strample was recently sentenced to a year in jail. He was accused of sexually harassing students and failing to monitor Larry Nassar, a former sports doctor who molested women and girls. So you can look for both of these stories on our website, WKAR.org, and listen for updates starting at 4 p.m. on All Things Considered with Karell Vega on FM 90.5 WKAR. So two major developments concerning MSU there. All right, to close out the hour, let's get to our guest for WKAR's Current Sports on this Thursday, September 5th. He has been waiting oh so patiently. We welcome now to the show Jeff Kimmerly, Media and Content Coordinator for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. First off, Jeff, happy Thursday to you. I know you are a very busy man around this time of the year, so we appreciate your time, man.
Hey, I'm glad to talk to you, Al. No problem at all.
Without a doubt, brother. So I want to dive into, you know, this story that we touched on extensively, actually, last week, because it's pretty shocking when you look at the numbers. A study conducted by the National Federation of State High School Associations has shown a decline in sports participation for the first time in 30 years. Now, first off, Jeff, what is just your overall reaction to that story?
Well, let me take some of the shock away from you, because it's really important to put the whole thing in context in a couple different ways. The first one, what this study studies, for lack of a better word, is participation, and it counts every athlete for every sport that's played. So, for example, if you play one sport, you're counted once. If you played two sports, you're counted twice, one for each sport. Three sports, three times, et cetera. So it's not just a one-to-one sort of thing, which kind of skews things maybe a little bit, because what it also potentially shows is there are just fewer multi-sport athletes out there, which is a whole other issue that we're trying to fight against. The other thing that we need to keep in mind is it was the first time there's been a decrease in 30 years, but it was still the third highest number in 30 years.
Mm.
So you can't keep climbing forever and ever and ever. It's not something you could ever expect to do, I don't think. So eventually they were going to have a year where participation would be down a little bit. The tough part about this, though, again, when you look at total participation across the nation, it's hard to say that this means that it's necessarily down some significant measure, because again, everybody gets counted multiple times for multiple sports. The thing that's interesting about the survey is you can compare sport to sport through the years, and I think that's more what this tool is used for, is to compare, say, how football participation is or how volleyball participation is, things like that, because those things are counted one-to-one, obviously. It's all a lot of detail stuff, and I'm not even sure if it makes sense when I describe it that way, but bottom line is, it's not as crazy as it sounds.
Gotcha. And, you know, one of our listeners brought up this. Alex, he actually commented on our Facebook page earlier in the hour, and he said that, and I think this is what you were trying to explain, which you did a great job of, Jeff, but kids used to play multiple sports, and we're starting to see sports specialization take precedence in a lot of different areas when it comes to high school sports today. So when a young man or woman does go down to play just one sport, it does count against participation, thus, bolstering up those numbers when it comes to decline in overall high school participation?
The way this survey is counted, yes, absolutely affects that. It takes out a number, it subtracts it by one, and it doesn't mean that there are fewer athletes per se, but those athletes are playing fewer sports, which, you know, we've done a multi-sport survey in our state for 2 years now, and we have 43% of our athletes play more than one sport. So that's the interesting one to me. I wish the rest of the country did something similar, because I don't know what those numbers look like compared to other states, but that is kind of where we sit, and you're right. Not only is specialization a thing there, but to be honest with you, there are just so many more options for high school students now for their time than there ever were. Especially when I was in high school, for sure. When you were in high school, because I know you're a much younger man than I, there is so much that somebody can do now, mm-hmm. be it sports, be it school sports, be it club sports, be it your theater, your performing arts, be it esports, be it, you know, working, different leisure time activities, there are far more options now than there ever were. And that certainly affects this whole thing as well.
That's so true. And Jeff, I don't know what kind of research you guys have done over there when it comes to the Michigan High School Athletic Association, but do you have an idea of what those numbers look like when it comes to high school sports participation in the state of Michigan?
So I can tell you this much. What we've done, and we've done this survey only 2 years, but it's my favorite survey that we do. Mm-hmm. We call it our multi-sport survey, but we also we try to put a number on how many actual athletes there are in the state of Michigan. So right now, I think this past year we got about 80% participation, and if you project the numbers out over 100%, we have somewhere around 200,000 high school athletes. I think the number, and this is kind of an odd coincidence, I told you that 43% of our athletes play two or more sports. The percentage is the same. 43% of students in a high school play at least one. So Almost half of the student body in Michigan plays at least one sport. Almost half of those athletes play two or more sports. So I guess you could say probably about a quarter of students in a high school are multi-sport athletes. And those are numbers, you know, we're looking to bolster participation as a whole, always. We're looking to bolster multi-sport participation, too. You know, what we've seen in Michigan a little bit, we've seen enrollment decline for, you know, the better part of a decade. What we try and do from a statewide point of view is, as long as our decline in participation stays ahead of that decline in population, we think we're doing a pretty good job, and it has stayed ahead of that. But it's tough. You know, you have a lot of small towns. A lot of our rural communities have lost a lot of population, and so a lot of enrollment. And, you know, the statistics bear out very clearly that small schools have more multi-sport participants. So all of those things combined kind of bring you to where we're at in terms of those national numbers.
So, Jeff, you mentioned how you guys are trying to come up with things to combat those problems, if you will, you know, trying to make sure that more kids are becoming multi-sport athletes and just participating overall in high school sports. How are you guys going about that?
You know, so on the multi-sport end, we have a multi-sport task force, and it's something that our previous executive director, Jack Roberts, who retired a little bit more than a year ago, it was kind of, I guess, one of his last big things before he retired, because it was something he felt very strongly about. He brought administrators and coaches and people in schools and actually outside of schools together to figure out how we can get more students doing more. Right now they're trying to develop some sort of incentive program to award schools for having higher participation or higher percentages of multi-sport athletes, and that's something that I wouldn't be surprised if it gets introduced next school year. From a participation standpoint, we just do our best from a marketing standpoint to continue to promote all the positives that go with playing sports, be it, you know, the physical fitness things, obviously, to all the intangible stuff that you learn in terms of communication and cooperation and how to solve problems and things like that. You know, the best we can do is just continue to tell people that this is a great option for you, and we understand that there are so many others, but if we can create some neat opportunities and you know, watch for sports that people are maybe more interested in and see how trends are going, we monitor all that stuff. You know, and that's why you have, for example, something like lacrosse. We brought lacrosse on board about a decade ago. The participation, I think, on the girls' side has gone up every single year. The boys, I know they've set records 3 years in a row.
Wow.
So that's we continue to try and find things like that students are interested in doing.
Last question for you, Jeff, because
yes,
you know, I've had a lot of, you know, I talk to a lot of parents when I'm out, you know, at a local high school football game, and
sure.
I talk to them about, you know, participation in high school football, and, you know, diving into that question, whether or not over the years, what we're knowing more and more about CTE as it relates to football, whether or not what kind of impact, if at all, that has had on high school football participation. What have you seen?
You know, I think it would be naive to say it hasn't had an effect at all. Of course it has. There, I talk to parents too. I am a parent now, and absolutely, health concerns have pulled some athletes out of the game. One of the things we're doing is continuously trying to explain that football right now is the safest it has ever been because of the equipment, because of the rules, because of the awareness, because we didn't really even talk about this stuff 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So you take that body of work over the last few decades, and we feel like we're providing a safe experience, but again, we're fighting a bit of a PR war on that. But to be honest, I don't think that's the only reason that football numbers are down anymore. And my, you know, again, my thoughts on it are basically anecdotal. But football is a very hard sport to play. You're out there, and it's very warm when practice starts, and you're wearing all these pads, and it's very physical. And I think, again, going back to the fact that students have so many options, if you're going to be the 20th or 30th person on a football team, you're maybe considering some other things that you might want to do instead, and I think we hear coaches say that stuff too. So the health concerns are a thing, but all the options are something that contributes as well.
Jeff, thank you so much for that clarification, and awesome job. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate your time, and our listeners do as well. We'll be in touch, my friend, all right?
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You too. Jeff Kimmerly. That was awesome, right? And again, hopefully that provided some clarification when it comes to those numbers from that study. Again, showing a decline in sports participation for the first time in 30 years when it comes to high school sports. All right, folks, that does it for this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll see you on Friday. Enjoy tonight's NFL game. Be easy, people.